the city that above all in Greece trained its sons to be hardy soldiers, dreading death infinitely less than shame. Leonidas had already made up his mind that the expedition would probably be his death, perhaps because a prophecy had been given at the Temple of Delphi that Sparta should be saved by the death of one of her kings of the race of Hercules. He was allowed by law to take with him 300 men, and these he chose most carefully, not merely for their strength and courage, but selecting those who had sons, so that no family might be altogether destroyed. These Spartans, with their helots or slaves, made up his own share of the numbers, but all the army was under his generalship. It is even said that the 300 celebrated their own funeral rites before they set out, lest they should be deprived of them by the enemy, since, as we have already seen, it was the Greek belief that the spirits of the dead found no rest till their obsequies had been performed. Such preparations did not daunt the spirits of Leonidas and his men, and his wife, Gorgo, not a woman to be faint-hearted or hold him back. Long before, when she was a very little girl, a word of hers had saved her father from listening to a traitorous message from the king of Persia. And every Spartan lady was bred to be able to say to those she best loved that they must come home from battle with the shield or on it, either carrying it victoriously or borne upon it as a corpse. When Leonidas came to Thermopylae, the Phoenicians told him of the mountain path through the chestnut woods of Mount Tar, and begged to have the privilege of guarding it on a spot high up on the mountainside, assuring him that it was very hard to find at the other end, and that there was every possibility that the enemy would never discover it. He consented, and encamping around the warm springs, caused the broken wall to be repaired, and made ready to meet the foe. The Persian army was seen covering the whole country like locusts, and the hearts of some of the southern Greeks in the pass began to sink. Their homes in the Peloponnesus were comparatively secure. Had they not better fall back and reserve themselves to defend the isthmus of Corinth? But Leonidas, though Sparta was safe below the isthmus, had no intention of abandoning his northern allies and kept the other Peloponnesians to their posts, only sending messengers for further help. Presently, a Persian on horseback rode up to reconnoitre the pass. He could not see over the wall, but in front of it, and on the ramparts, he saw the Spartans, some of them engaged in active sports, and others in combing their long hair. He rode back to the king and told him what he had seen. Now Xerxes had in his camp an exiled Spartan prince named Demaratus, who had become a traitor to his country and was serving as a counselor to the enemy. Xerxes sent for him and asked whether his countrymen were mad to be thus employed instead of fleeing away. But Demaratus made answer that a hard fight was no doubt in preparation, and that it was the custom of the Spartans to array their hair with especial care.